It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin in Johannesburg. David, one of the things I do when I get up in the morning is have a look at the all-share futures, which kick off at around about exactly 8:30 South African time. And I remember probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago thinking, wait a second, we're getting very close to a 52-week low on these things now, 44,400, 44,500, I think it was. And I'm looking at my screen now as we pre-record this interview a couple of hours to go, or rather an hour to go to the close of the JSE, and they're 48,000. They're 4,000 points above that level, which is close to 10%. Suddenly we've, and quietly, we have recovered, and maybe there's some reason behind that. I don't know. Can you find any?
You know what, Lindsay, it's not out of line with the rest of the market, the rest of the world. The U.S. markets have done the same. I think if you the low in U.S. markets was around about 24th of December, and from that date they're up about 12-13%. As you mentioned, in South Africa, which is December the 10th, and from that point we've clawed back what is close to 10%, 7, 8%. A lot has to do with the, with global markets. So we've had a big turnaround in Naspers, things improving there, the Chinese-U.S. trade relationships finding some kind of support, and that turned Naspers around. And other international stocks have also stabilized or steadied with their markets. The worry in our market is, where to next? I think there are quite a few problems. We've got to, let's put it this way. We've got to split our market into three different areas. You've got the commodity markets, you've got the local equities, and then you've got the international equities. And all three of those kind of act differently. And, on the commodity market side, they look attractive. Analysts have come out quite supportive of the diversified miners. And yet, when you look below that, there's still concerns about where commodity prices will go with China. Iron ore remains the worry. Precious metals, I think, generally, analysts are nervous. So to commit yourself now, and let's try and read oil. Where do we read oil? So that's one area, that you have to decide upon. On the local side is a big concern, and I'm talking about, Lindsay, we came out with some, you saw the results that came out of Woolworths, out of Mr. Price, retail sales. That's a big worry because that exposes deep concerns about the health of the consumer. And then over and above that, we've got our own local problems, whether or not we are, our tax collection's up, we've got a budget coming, we've got an election coming, and so on. And then you've got the internationals, and they seem to be doing a lot better. Naspers has picked up, Richemont's steady, Mondi has seemed to be okay, AB InBev and British American Tobacco, again, stabilizing. When I say stabilizing after massive fall. So we've got to decide on three different areas of the market. There might be more when you look at the, when you look at our market. And to be fair, I can't make up my mind on any of them. I've got no strong views on any of them.
It seems to me as though it's not a dead cat bounce, but it's almost as though there's just a relief rally. People were fatigued after a really, really bad December in the United States of America. And with the lack of fresh bad news, just like a bull market, a bear market needs to be fed. It's a hungry animal. And there was just no more bad news. There was no more Trump stupidity. I mean, there's stupidity every day, but you get desensitized to it. There was no more trade war stuff. There was no more interest rate talk. So everyone said, well, I've got all this money that I got out of. That I got out when I sold, and then let me just buy it again. That's the feeling I get.
That's exactly the right feeling. What took us down last year, were worries about the Fed, were worries about Chinese talk, were all those concerns. And somehow we seem to, I wouldn't say address them, but the fear of those bringing the market down have kind of diminished, and that's brought some confidence. And also we've had some fairly good corporate results coming through. They're reasonable. They're not great. They're not, I don't think we're going to see what we saw last year, largely because that was really motivated by the big tax cuts. A lot of the gains that we saw were tax cuts. They're not going to repeat themselves. But still, there's a momentum in corporate earnings. And I think that's the answer, to be honest. I think that's – we're hesitating now, looking for reasons to take a bit of profit. But if we get good corporate results coming through now, particularly from the techs, which will start to will start to report this week and next. But we can get some good numbers there, Apple apart. I think that will give the market just another something to bite on or something to chew on and give us another maybe a little bit of leg up and build some momentum up. But I'm not holding my breath for a massive year this year. And I think if we can eke out a decent gain, 5%, 6%, 7%, I'm talking in dollar terms, I'm talking global markets, I'd be happy. The local market will follow. You know, we'll just follow through. But I think, I still think that there is a lot of fundamental structural weaknesses in this economy that need to be addressed. And I think Moody's has brought that out. Even listening to Lesetša Kgatšhanyago, you know, the central bank governor, he didn't address too much of it than that, but... if you look at his growth numbers, you know, he downgraded this year from 1.9 to 1.7. Last year, expecting 0.7%. Unemployment still an issue here. The SOEs, Eskom bankrupt, SAA bankrupt. You know, when I say bankrupt, I mean they're bankrupt. You know, they need to go on life support to survive. And, you know, that's those are the worries. So
there's also a worry in the high street. And when I say the high street, I mean in the consumption area of the South African economy, which, let's face it, is 2/3 of the South African economy. I spoke to somebody who's been trying to sell his house for 18 months in Johannesburg. Yep. And this is the only thing that is holding him back. He said that the Johannesburg area, and you know about this and you'll tell me your story, but listen to mine first. The Johannesburg area is being drained by people either leaving the country or going to Cape Town. He's had one cheeky offer in 18 months. In 18 months. He's saying houses that were on the market for 8 million are going for 2.5 to 3.5 million. Mm. And stories like this. And I just suddenly thought, that's the most extraordinary destruction of wealth. And also when you see the retailers' results from last week, you say, well, this is stuff you do every day. You go and buy stuff. But a big capital depreciation like a house is very disturbing.
No, I think you're spot on there. I think that is a worry. And people are scared to sell it because if you sell one house in the neighborhood like that, the whole neighborhood goes down. And it's almost it's a big concern. I'm a runner, and I run slowly nowadays, so I can actually reflect on what's happening around me and take it in. I'm absolutely staggered because I run through this Joburg northern suburbs, the wealthy suburbs, and there are a number of houses that are on for sale. You just see the for sale signs there, and they've been there for a long time. So when you said your friend, you know, if it's in the 8 million rand category, I think that's the most dangerous. That and upwards. Yes. I would say I think that's dangerous. You're not going to get those numbers. I think a lot of the wealth that was created through BEE, I think, has dried up. And those people, you know, in that area who are getting money every month or every year and that and making big money and buying big cars and buying the sports cars, I think that area of the market has also dried up. So your best possibility is in the 1.5 to 2.5 million range. You know, those houses are probably changing hands and that. But I think anything above that, just don't hold out for don't hold out. Optimism that you're going to get the kind of price that you would have got a few years ago.
On the positive side, David, what I hear is that the household balance sheet in South Africa, it's not robust, but it's better than it was. So people have got money, but they're not confident enough to go out and spend it yet with elections coming up, etc. The same thing with corporates. I keep on hearing how much money corporates have got in order to splash out once times get better and once there's some sort of policy affirmation from the powers that be up above. So maybe if things suddenly go well and there's an orderly election process and everyone's happy and there's a few policies put in place that people like, everyone says, right, I'm going to start spending now. Maybe I'll go out there and buy a car or buy a house or put a cheeky bid in for a house, and corporates may go on the acquisition trail again. Any chance of that on the optimistic front?
I think that is the optimistic view. I'm not sure that there's a good chance of that happening. I think that, you know, I judge it from the money that we see here. And we recycle money. The people that come to us are not clients who've suddenly got a couple of million bonus or something like that, or even a bonus. Most of the clients that come to us are coming from some other place, or alternatively, they've inherited money. Their parents have died or so on, or something sad like that.
Mm.
That's how we're building up our base. We're not building up our base on people with lots of money coming here. And that's a sign, you know, that's a sign that people are a little stretched. And but if there's optimism, we saw it with Ramaphosa. My view, what put me back were some of the revelations now to the commission on state capture.
Yes.
I think that. And whether or not this chap who was testifying, Mr. What's it, Agrizi or whoever,
yes,
was very grand in his testimonies and perhaps exaggerated, there's an element of truth.
Are you worried about the fact that there's an allegation that the Ramaphosa campaign received 500,000 rand and his campaign managers didn't alert him to the fact that it was coming from what was a fairly whiffy sort of operation? In other words, there was a slight hint of a scandal around that particular organization.
But if you look at the number of people that he's named, you know, that were named, okay, I'm sure they might be able to defend themselves. But all it's doing is pointing to, on top of the Guptas, it just points to a government or an administration that didn't have a moral compass, you know, that has been too easily swayed with money, that weren't there for the good of the country, were there for the good of themselves. And I think it's going to be very difficult to turn that around. And that's what needs to be turned around to get credibility going. I think people are just walking around at the moment very, very down with all these revelations. You know, and also, you know, when you get those kind of issues, what happens is you choose not to ask where it came from. And that way you protect yourself. You know, if you suddenly see money flowing in and say, well, listen, I'm not going to ask where it came from, just in case it raises questions. There's a certain guilt around that as well. So, in many cases, you know that's what worries me. If your children are suddenly driving fancy cars or something like that, and or living in fancy houses, and you know what kind of job they do, maybe you choose not to ask where it came from. You know, that's your fault. Then obviously. So. If you know what I'm getting at, it's a worry, and we need to clean this place up before we get the kind of confidence that you're talking about, and it hasn't happened. So I don't know what the next step is. Also, that will bring the confidence. You know, that those are the issues that will bring the confidence. But also, we're not a law-abiding country. You know, we drive how we want to. We stop if we feel like it. We don't stop if we don't feel like it. Whatever we do, I saw a tweet this morning that just shows the brazenness of two chaps, I think in the Edenvale area, that smashed and grabbed a car and didn't even bother running away because no one's going to stop to accuse them or call the police or anybody. They just stood where they are and waited for the next car. and that's the kind of brazenness of the crime. You know what I mean? You leave your window open, they grab, and they don't even run away because the traffic keeps flowing and no one wants to get involved. You know, no one wants to stop them. So instead of reporting them or addressing them, what do? You roll up your window and say, thank God, it wasn't me. You know, stupid people for leaving their window open or for leaving a bag on the front seat. That's where we are.
Yeah, where we are as well is sometimes, I'm trying to find the quote that I was looking for. It's in the Daily Maverick, and Stephen Crutus, who I used to work with at 702, has written an excellent article about it. And it's actually a little bit sad in a way. I've got a quote now from ANC Secretary General Chelema Motlanthe said before the Polokwane conference in 2007. He famously said this. The rot, he says, is across the board. This is in 2007, before we realised about state capture and exactly how deep all this corruption went. He said the rot is across the board. It's not confined to any level or any area of the country. Mm. Almost every single project is conceived because it offers opportunities for certain to people. Yeah. For certain people to make money. This is going to take years to come out, David. Yeah. It's scary.
It's exactly that. And what happens is if you're in a position of authority in the government and you know that you have got the authority to issue a contract or award a contract, of course, to somebody who's going to benefit because they've got a company, the first question you ask, well, what's in it for me? And you will only award it where there's going to be some benefit that flows back to you. And that seems to be the culture that's in. You know that even the cops during the December period, none of the cops wanted to go and leave because for them it was payday.
Yeah.
They could stop you driving out of Melrose Arch or Sandton City, etc. And even if you hadn't had a drink, they could threaten, well, we're going to test you. And if you were in a fancy car and looked like had money, they would take you on a ride. They would take you on a ride where just to extract something from you, threatening you with 2 days or two nights in.
So what are you saying? They're going to try and take you to an ATM machine or ask you for a bribe?
Well, something like that. They were just brazen about it. They didn't even defend themselves. You know, as they stopped you, they would say, they would give you the price. And I mean, sad as it is, it never happened to me. And I would certainly not even try and drink and drive and, would test them.
But what would you do, David? I'm not asking for your moral compass here. What would you do if they said, listen, we can fabricate these charges against you. You're an upstanding pillar of the financial services and Jewish community. Would you give them R1,000?
Well, absolutely. Because of trying to get out of it, to try and make a moral stand. So suddenly they put you in a jail cell and that before anybody even comes to see you, it's a day or a few hours gone.
Yeah,
that's the system. You've got to find somebody who's honest enough to actually say, you can't do that. So you've got no rights. It was as blazing as that over the Christmas period. And I know people here who've been there, who went through that and who are too scared. They might have had a beer kind of in the morning or something like that, and they were dead scared in case it did show up or the instruments were rigged.
Yeah.
So you get into that fear factor where you say, oh, my God, it's much easier to give you something, a few R100 than to go through this process. It's much easier than trying to take a moral stand.
Yes.
Just let me go home,
Yeah, quite right. Okay, let's move on to, are you doing anything in the market at the moment before we get on to the important point of football? Anything you've done since we last spoke?
Look, globally, yes, we're picking up some stocks, but and even locally as well. What's interesting, and I haven't made up my mind yet, Lindsay, some of the property stocks, big property stocks, Growth Point, Redefine Now, are starting to, the yields are starting to exceed the long bond rate, which we haven't seen for a long time.
Okay.
And that's an interesting development. The areas of the market from a yield point of view that are looking attractive. It's early days because, of course, you're not sure that they're going to maintain their distributions. There's no sense that they're not. But I think you're going into areas now where some kind of value will start emerging in terms of, not growth, but in terms of yield and returns.
So some bargain hunting, some bottom picking. They're not going to spike back up again. But on the other hand, if the yield is better than the long bond rate, it's a no-brainer for a while. Capital appreciation could be something different, but on the other hand, have a look at it. Arsenal beat Chelsea 2-0. Liverpool scraped in against Crystal Palace yesterday 4-3. There was another 4-3 game. I think it was Wolves against Leicester. But it seems to be settling down now to Liverpool, Manchester City. Spurs have fallen out of it. They were lucky to beat Fulham yesterday. And then Manchester United just sort of coming back. I'm still not convinced about them, but they've bounced back nicely after the Mourinho disaster.
Well, let's see what happens Friday night. It's Arsenal, Man United. Cup game. an important test for both companies, you know, because Arsenal sometimes they show these they showed spirit against Spurs. Remember, they beat them 2-0 against Chelsea and that. Yeah. Now the games they failed. So, and I think now it's also going to be a test against, you know, for Man United. But Man United looks solid enough. Huh? They're okay. You know what I mean? There seems to be a different spirit there. But the one that just seems to fade away is Chelsea. Hey?
They're
and
rubbish.
I think also Liverpool looking a bit stretched. They're, I don't think they've got the squad that the Man City has. And I was just, you know, just watching Man City and that. I mean, when you see the number of players that they have, they bring on Silva, you know, in the 80th minute, you know, to give him a run. I said, oh, my God, you know. Those are the kind of reserves they've got, you know. Bernardo, all of these kind of chaps, you know, wonderful squad.
I have. David, thank you very much for your time, as always. Okay. That was David Shapiro. That was Shapiro World. David is from Sasserin in Johannesburg. And the show will be back same time next week.